I love Islam. 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 I love Islam.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Dear viewers of I Love Islam, welcome back to another I Love Islam program. Alhamdulillah, we're back here again in the studio. We have Brother Arkam with us. Let's go and see how is getting on. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Arkam bhai?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. How are you?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Let's get back to our I Love Islam program. Let's kickstart this with the question of the day.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
It's question of the day. Come on then, what's the quiz of the day? Subhanallah, today's question is, when is Shab-e Bara'at? When is Shab-e Bara'at? If you think you know the answer, then let's see how many of you get this one right. Yeah, what is this word? Yeah, please help us out, someone out there, tell us, what is Shab-e Bara'at? When is it? Okay, when is it? So it is something that is, it happens.
Yeah? That's the clue. Date.
I think we're going to move on now to our first segment. And it's an interesting segment, one of the beautiful segments of our program. And that is story time.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. 14.
It's story time. And today we have a beautiful topic. And it's known as the Night of Forgiveness.
Subhanallah.
Okay, I'll give you another clue now. We'll just give it away. It's hard to keep this one. Okay, the question was, when is Shab-e Bara'at? Shab-e Bara'at is the night of forgiveness. It's the night of forgiveness. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to share with you some interesting facts about this great and honorable night. Subhanallah, every night, you know, every evening, we have a night. And when it gets dark, we have night. But there's some nights, they are blessed.
Subhanallah.
Oh, subhanallah. And this night, the night of forgiveness, subhanallah, is one of the blessed night that comes once in a year in the month of Sha'ban. I've given too many clues now. Come on, I might be telling you the date. No, I can't be doing that now. I need to hold my horses now. Okay, night of forgiveness. So let's start off with Brother Arkam. What do you want to start off with? It's yours.
So like in the calendar, we have certain nights or certain days in the year which are special days.
Subhanallah.
Like we have the days of Eid, the special days. The 12th of Rabiul Awwal is a special day. The 27th of Rajab is a special night, is a special occasion. Like that Laylatul Qadr is a special occasion.
Subhanallah.
This day, this night is a special night as well.
Subhanallah.
It's such a special night that we can't let it go without giving its true honor.
So in reality, every day, every night is blessed.
Yeah.
It's honor for us. We are living, we are breathing, we are witnessing the wonders of Allah Ta'ala. Every day is unique.
Mm.
But in all year round, there are some nights
they're extra special. Yeah.
And they have so many blessings in those nights and those days. Like you just mentioned some of them. Yeah. The day of Jum'ah
yeah.
comes every week. Yeah, the night of Jummah. Yeah, and then you mentioned Laylatul Qadr in the month of Ramadan. The whole month of Ramadan is blessed. Yeah. SubhanAllah. So there are some nights, they are known for the blessings and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. SubhanAllah. And this night of forgiveness, which is known as Shab-e Barat, is one of them. And today, inshallah, we're going to be learning about this great, honorable night.
So on this night, it's mentioned that so many people are forgiven. Wow. So many people are forgiven by Allah Almighty.
SubhanAllah.
It's compared to, there was a tribe called Bani Kalb. There was loads of goats. They used to have loads of goats. So it's mentioned that the amount of people that are forgiven on this night is like the equivalent of the amount of hair that the goats of this tribe used to have.
Allahu Akbar. So these people you just mentioned, the tribe of Bani Kalb, this was like Arab, you know, a tribe, like a community. Yeah. And they were known for their goats. They used to have like so many, because they're hundreds of goats. Now they used to have loads of goats. And you just said that in according to the hadith, the prophetic traditions, we hear that on this night, so many people are forgiven. And one example is given, the number of hair on the goats of Bani Kalb, which is like So many.
Now
we can't go around and count those goats now, can we? Hey, how many goats there are? It just means there's so many goats. And just imagine how many hair each goat has.
SubhanAllah. Yeah. SubhanAllah.
And the number of hair on the goats of Bani Kalb, that's the number of people are forgiven on this night by Allah Ta'ala. SubhanAllah, can you believe it? Those people, you know, who want Allah Ta'ala to forgive us, this is the night we should be all yearning for, looking towards for this night to come quickly, so that we could, you know, be from those lucky people that who will be forgiven on this night. SubhanAllah. This should be our wish, our dream, that Allah Almighty chooses us to be one of them as well. So this night is known, the excellence and virtue of this night is that it is known the night of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And the night, the Shab-e Bara'at, we were talking about, Shab means night and Bara'at means freedom. The night of freedom. In other words, this is the night when people will be given freedom from the fire of hell. Allahu Akbar, SubhanAllah. This is the great night. And this is something that we all need to be ready for, looking forward towards. And inshallah, in this year when it comes, inshallah, we will try to respect and honor this night by not wasting our time, not doing wrong things. And we're going to do, you know, we're going to keep ourselves busy in worship, in reciting Quran, and doing all the good things that we can do, subhanAllah. So make sure you're ready for this night, inshallah. This is a night when there are some important decisions that are made, and them decisions are considering you and me, all of us. There are some important decisions that are made about us on this night. This is how critical and how important this night is, and we need to be aware of this. Brother Arkan, can you please tell us, you know, which type of decisions are made about us on this night?
So it's mentioned, it's decided on this night, or is mentioned on this night, the person who will die in the coming year. So every individual who will pass away in the coming year, their name is written on this night.
Allah.
That decision is made. The amount of sustenance, how it will be distributed in the coming year, that decision is made on this night.
Allah.
And who will
on this night, you know, the angels are given this task, given the list of people's name, that who are going to die in the following year. So remember this, that a person will die when the time comes. But this decision is made in this night. That it's like every year a new list is given. And you know, all those people who have passed away from last Shab-e Barat up to now, who have passed away, their decision was made on that night.
Yeah.
And now this night that will come soon, on this night another again decisions will be made in the coming year. Someone's going to live, and when that person is going to pass away. That is a very critical decision. What if, you know, someone's name is written on that list and he's just not bothered? He just carries on with his normal life, and he's just busy with the chasing the dunya, chasing the world, and he's not focusing towards the akhirah, the afterlife. That is something for us. We have to reflect upon this. What if, let's be honest, what if our name is on that list? It is possible. Yeah, we might not become aware of this, but it is possible that our name could be on the list. And we need to be concerned about this. On this night, this great and important decision is made, and we can't just let this night go, you know, in heedless, you know, ignoring it and wasting our time. Now we need to make sure we worship on this night. So please keep that in mind. One important decision that is made on this night is the people who are going to pass away in the following year, from up to next Shab-e Bara'at, their names are given to the angels. They are given tasks that this is the list. These, and this, on this day, on this time, on this second, you need to take the soul of these people. Mm. Okay. The second thing you mentioned, that on this night, the angels are given tasks, different tasks. And one of them is the distribution of rizq. How much sustenance someone will have. How much food and sustenance. Your rizq, how much will it be, and when are you going to have it, how much are you going to have it, that is also decided on this night as well.
SubhanAllah.
And just imagine, like, this important decision is being made and we're just like ignoring it. And we're just sleeping and we're just not bothered. Mm. No, we can't let this happen. So everyone out there, all the kids and all the elders who are watching this program, we need to be ready for this night. Now may Allah Ta'ala allow us to, first of all, may Allah Ta'ala allow us to reach this night. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to meet this night, because we don't even know yet.
Allah.
We don't know. Let's be honest. We don't know we are going to live that long enough. And Brother Arkam, I'm going to share something with you today. Alhamdulillah, I've attended 4 funerals.
SubhanAllah.
4 funerals. Mm. And on top of this, I've become aware of few more deaths that have taken place, which I wasn't able to attend. Mm. But I've physically, now personally attended 4 funerals in my local city, Oldham, in Bradford, in Bolton, Bury, and there's few I wasn't able to make it. Yeah, but these are just within this last week.
Allah.
And even now, whilst we speak today, there's another death that's taking place in our locality. And those people are watching this. Now, maybe you've had a similar experience as well. You know, people are passing away. I'm thinking, now, each death that goes now in these coming days, I'm just thinking that their decision was made last Shab-e Bara'at. They didn't know, and their time's come, and they didn't live up to this Shab-e Bara'at. They passed away a few days before. What if one of our name was written on that list? And what if we go before this great night? So we shouldn't just be, you know, thinking, okay, this great night's coming, let's wait for this night, that's the night we're going to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. No, that's not the right way. The right approach is, as soon as you become aware of your sins and you become guilty, you know, make tawbah, ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Don't delay. No, when you do something wrong, immediately ask Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness. Don't delay a moment. Like now, for example, we're discussing this topic. You know, this is the right time for us to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Ya Allah, any shortcomings from my side, Ya Allah, anything wrong that I've done, small or big, Ya Allah, I admit all my faults. Ya Allah, I am guilty. I am ashamed of my wrongdoings. Ya Allah, I promise you, I will not do these things again. Ya Allah, please forgive me. Ya Allah, please forgive me. You know, ask Allah Ta'ala, you know, sincerely, from the bottom of your heart, ask Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness. And if there's certain sins that you do in particular, you know, mention those. You know, you don't have to tell everyone else. You know, talk to Allah Ta'ala and say in the court of Allah, Ya Allah, I've been lazy in salah. I've been disrespectful to my parents. I've done such and such bad thing. Ya Allah, you're aware of everything. There's nothing hidden from you. Ya Allah, please forgive me. And this is the time where we have to reflect upon each death that takes place in the coming days. Yeah, in the coming days, if anything else happens, if there's anything, any funeral that takes place in your locality, or you become aware of any funeral through social media, that's a reminder, that's the message that you're being given. That look, they've gone, you're going to come as well. So therefore, as a Muslim, we need to be prepared. We don't want that to, you know, the death to come suddenly and we're not ready for tawbah. Let's make a sincere tawbah, let's turn our ways, let's connect with our Rabb. Azza wa Jal, let's connect with our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's connect with our deen. Let's turn our focus towards the masjid. Let's open the Quran. Let's change our life. This is the time. Let's not wait for the night of forgiveness to come. Let's make those bold decisions now. Mm. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. What do you think?
Yes, so we shouldn't delay until then. No, like you said, nobody knows that if they're going to live to then, to the night of forgiveness.
You know, just imagine if someone, you know, he's done something really bad, and he's in his mind, he goes, okay, let's be baraz kum aldu tawbah. So indirectly, he's saying it's okay to carry on. And that's not right.
No, that's why straight away we should make tawbah straight away. But you know that delay is something. It's like saying that we believe we're guaranteed to live until then. We don't have that guarantee that we're going to live till then. Somebody thinks I'm going to wait till that night, or I'm going to wait till Ramadan to ask for forgiveness or to change my ways. It's in a way saying that we believe we're going to live till then anyway. And we don't have that guarantee. Like, how many times have we seen it? Somebody who's fit and healthy, nothing wrong, and they don't wake up in the morning. How many times do we see it?
That it just happened today. Look, I don't... It's our kids' program, or the elders were watching this as well. It's happened today. We were in Madani Qafila. When I woke up in the morning, I saw a message in my local area in Oldham. Someone who's lively, who's active, in the night, he went to gym as well. So that means he was fine. He was normal. And around 3:30 in the morning, he had a sudden heart attack and he passed away. And these things are happening around us. Not on a regular basis. These are the messages, signs for us that don't delay. Make tawbah, ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness right now. Don't wait for any moment. You know, that's the message that we need to remember regarding this great and honorable night. Before we continue, regarding this, there's some facts about this night. I just want to go through some of the messages. MashaAllah, I can see a list of messages here. So let's start off with the first one. Assalamu alaikum, our names are Umme Hani, Hadia, and Ahmad Rafiq from Bradford. MashaAllah, may Allah Ta'ala keep you happy. Thank you for sending us a message. And guess what? The answer you gave is correct. Well done. MashaAllah. We have Zainab, Sumayya, and Hamza Nadeem all the way from London. MashaAllah. Thank you for sending us another message. The answer you gave, yeah. It's correct. You give it quite good detail there. MashaAllah. Well done. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Inaya from Oldham. MashaAllah. And the answer you gave, you got it right as well. What's going on, Brother Erikam? Are we giving too many easy questions here? I'll have to think of another question now. Sabrina Sadiq from South Africa. Thank you for sending us a message. And guess what? Your answer is correct as well. MashaAllah. We have another message, and this time it looks like I've not read the whole message yet. It looks like Brother Arko is not gonna get away with this. This message is from Sayyid Awais Shah Sahib from Pakistan, Karachi, MashaAllah. And he's saying, Assalamu alaikum, how are you, dear and sweet Tawfiq bhai? Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, I'm fine. Thank you for sending us message again, MashaAllah. And the answer you gave is correct, that's first thing. And I also have a question for you. How should children pray on this night who sleep early? That's interesting. Because we're talking about the night of forgiveness. And in this night of forgiveness, it is important for us to make, to spend this night in ibadah, in worship. And obviously to do the worship, you have to stay awake. Yeah. So the question is, the children who normally go to sleep early, how can they pray on this night? What should they do? That's an interesting question. And I think I'm going to turn to Brother Arkam to give us the answer.
I think on special nights, we make it a habit to stay awake anyway. Like, you know, if we, another example, you know, if we're going somewhere, we've got a flight to catch, we'll make sure the kids stay awake or they're awake for that. So if we give importance to things like that, on this night, we realize how important it is. So we should make the children stay awake a little bit, even if they don't stay awake all night to worship. Part of the night, we should keep them awake, encourage them, so they understand the importance of this night. You know, if we let them sleep like every other night, they won't realize the importance of it. Then when they grow up, they won't know the importance of it as well.
So sure, should we keep the kids awake till about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning?
Not all night, but part of the night. For normally the Ijtimaz gatherings start quite early, programs start quite early. Even on Madani channel, if they watch for a little bit, they don't have to stay awake all night, but something different, something special.
So this night, the night of forgiveness, is a night of worship. And it's important that as elders who are watching this program, we need to make sure we get our youngsters from our household, you know, involved in this night as well. Make them aware of the speciality and the significance of this night. And one way to do this is get them involved in the worship that you are doing as well. And subhanAllah, one of the beautiful way to do this is in many places all around the globe, Muslims on this night, as soon as Maghrib Salah takes place, many Muslims around the place, around the world, especially men and boys, they go to the masjid. They perform Maghrib Salah in the masjid. And they meet this night in the state of being in the masjid, in the house of Allah Ta'ala, and they perform their Maghrib Salah with Jamaat. That's the first thing. Then after Maghrib Salah, on this great night, Muslims all around the world, they have this beautiful practice. They perform certain voluntary worship, voluntary nafal salah. And normally they perform 6 rak'at. So they read 2 rak'at first, then they read the second 2 rak'at, then again, third time they read 2 rak'at. So there are 6 extra nawafil prayers that they perform this on this night. And it's important that you get your kids to join them as well. That's something they could do, and it'll be something different for them. Yeah, and between each 2 cycle of salah, we have different things that are recited as special dua that is recited. Dua for mid Sha'ban, nisf Sha'ban, and of this special dua for this night that is read, and also Surah Yasin is recited, and sometimes Surah Ikhlas is recited between each 2 cycles of salah. So that's another thing we can do, and we can make sure minimum. Now we get the kids to read Maghrib Salah, we get them to read Isha Salah, and then, not even for 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, make them do something on this night. Recite Quran for a short while, read Islamic book, talk about the importance of this night, make special dua, get together, make dua for the whole family, especially for those who have passed away from your family, make dua for them. Make dua for the Muslim Ummah. Once you make dua for everyone, get together, have some food as well, and then, for the kids, if they want to go to sleep, they can go to sleep. But then wake up in the morning before Fajr Salah, and if possible, perform Tahajjud Namaz. Yeah, pray 2 rakat of Tahajjud. And especially perform the Sahri. Yeah, you know, make the intention to perform, to have the fast on the next day. Yeah, and these are, and then make sure you read your Fajr Salah. So minimum, the little kids, what they can do is, make sure you read your Maghrib. You have Isha Namaz and then the Fajr, which are linked with the night. Yeah, and early morning. And make sure we read these prayers, and properly if possible with Jamaat. Make extra preparations. And like you said early on, Brother Arkam, when there's special events, we make special arrangements. And on if it's someone's birthday, if it's family event, or something happens in the household, there's some occasion. And what happens? You're so excited, you just don't go to sleep anyway. So we're not saying the kids have to stay awake full night, but there's something that you can do. So how much you want to do, you could speak to your elders and be involved. And this is essential for us. All of the kids who are watching this, we need to make sure we spend this night, whatever time that we can do, we need to make sure we spend this in a good way. Yeah, recite Quran. Do recite tasbih, do istighfar, ask Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness. Make dua. We don't just waste this night. This is a night where the mercy of Allah is pouring down. There's so much blessings in this night, and you're just ignoring it. You're just going to sleep. Come on, can't be doing that. Everyone else is gonna. Loads of people are gonna benefit from this night. They're gonna enjoy the fruits of this night. They're gonna have so many glad tidings. They're gonna hear the news of. For them, there'll be news of forgiveness and many more blessings. And we can't just afford to just sleep and not just let things happen like this. Come on, everyone, get ready for this important night. Right, salam. My name is Muhammad Rehan Raza. I am 11 years old from Accrington. How are you, Rehan Raza? I hope you're well. MashaAllah. And the answer you gave is correct. Well done. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Back to Brother Arkam. You were telling us some facts about this night. Anything else you want to share?
So another decision that's made on this night is those people who will do Hajj this year. So that's another decision that's made on this night.
Wow, subhanAllah. Kids, did you hear this? On this great night, the night of forgiveness, those people who will go and perform Hajj in this coming year, their names are going to be written. Wow, subhanAllah. Come on, boys and girls, be excited. Make sure you do dua in the court of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala writes our name as well. Our names and our family members, our parents' name as well on this night for those lucky people who will go and perform Hajj this year. SubhanAllah. So make sure you make this special dua as well.
And the deeds, the book of deeds for the previous year is closed on this night, and the new book of deeds for the coming year is opened on this night. So for the deeds that were done in the previous year, that book of deeds is closed, and the new deeds, the book is open on this night.
Can you please explain that again? The kids will be thinking, what's going on? Book of deeds?
So the actions that we do, they're written down in our book of deeds. So the
action, so there's like a register.
There's like a
angels
register.
Have a register, and whatever we do, any action we perform in our life, if it's good, if it's bad, all that is being written down.
Yeah.
And then full year, you know, the angels, you know, on our shoulders we have angels, and they are known as Kiramun Katibin, the blessed scribes. Their job and duty is that they note down any, you know, any actions that we perform, anything that we say, they note it down. If it's good, if it's bad, whatever it is, the angels write it down. You know, some, just on that note, some people say this angel is the good angel and the bad angel. Yeah, it's not like that. All angels are good. Remember this, all angels are good. They are innocent. They are pure. They don't make any mistakes. However, the angel on the right shoulder writes down all the good things that you do. And the angel on the left notes down all the bad things, everything, anything that you don't naughty, anything wrong. You swore at someone, you lied, you cheated, whoever, whatever you've done, you missed namaz, this gets noted. And angels have some form of a register, so which is known as book of deeds. Man, the register that has all the account of whatever you've been doing the whole year. And this register is
presented.
Closed. The previous year chapter is closed. And then the new register is open. The angels are given the new some form of a register. And now they write down the new things. So the old register is closed, the new register starts. So year one complete, year two starts. That's how it happens on this night, and it's important for us that we don't waste this night. And that's why, you know, we've seen this, you know, in Islamic scholars, what they do if in the past years we've noticed that one day before this night, before the night of forgiveness, the day before, they make sure they spend that in worship as well. They keep roza, they fast on that day as well, the day before. And the reason they keep a fast is so that when this register is closed, the last deed, the last action that they've got is the fast. They were doing worship. And they also try to spend from Asr to Maghrib in Masjid as well. So that they're in the Masjid, they're doing Ibadah, they're doing good things. So when it's closed, at least the last part, at least they're doing good things.
So from here, if you make a list of what we should be doing. So the first one you've mentioned there, to fast the night before, or the day before, the night of forgiveness. To spend the last hour, so from Asr to Maghrib, the last hour, the day before the night of forgiveness in the masjid as well. So that's two practical points so far.
So yes.
Okay.
MashaAllah. And to make it more easy for you, you know, if there's Dawood Islami in your locality, if you can go there, you know, on these days, please, I would highly recommend you spend this night of forgiveness this year with Dawood Islami. Those people who don't have this facility in the area, make sure you watch Madani channel. This night, inshallah, if we stay connected with Dawood Islami, we will be able to realize the importance and significance of this night, and we'll be able to make most of this night. We won't waste this night then. No, we'll get those powerful reminders that we need. No, do you know what I mean? To make tawbah, sometimes you need that environment. No, sometimes you want to cry in the court of Allah, but you're not being able to do it. You know, because of like who you are and who you're with and where you are. You know, sometimes you're not able to make that tawbah, you're not doing it. But if you actually attend the ijtima' of Shab-e Barat with Dawood Islami, and when there's collective dua that takes place, and when people are crying and asking for forgiveness, when you're raising your hand there as well, inshallah, you know, your heart will melt as well. No, you won't even realize your tears will be flowing. You'll be crying in the court of Allah as well. And you'll be making tawbah as well. So this is a great opportunity for us. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Alhamdulillah, it's now time to move on to our next segment. But just before that, any final words on the topic of night of forgiveness?
So we've talked about how many people will be forgiven on this night, and that so many people will be forgiven on this night. There's some unfortunate people, even on this night where so many people are forgiven, there's certain categories of people who won't be forgiven on this night as well.
Allah.
And some of them, just quickly, some of them, an alcoholic. Allah. An alcoholic won't be forgiven on this night. Someone who is disobedient to his parents, his or her parents, that individual won't be forgiven on this night. The one who cuts family ties, that individual won't be forgiven on this night. And the one who tells tales, one who lies,
Allah,
that individual won't be forgiven on this night. And there's a few others, but these are the main ones. If we focus on these, how common are these in our society?
Allah, all the kids who are watching this, this is getting serious now. You know, we're talking about the night of forgiveness. This night is all about forgiveness. Many people, hundreds and thousands of people will be forgiven on this night, inshallah. But even in this night, there will be some type of people who are known as the unfortunate people who Allah Almighty will not forgive. That's because of their own deeds, because of their own wrongdoings. And some of these have been highlighted, those who cut relationship. Now, if something small happens, I say, I'm never going to talk to you now. Now, that's not the way of Islam. Islam is here to make bonds, to connect to each other. We are not allowed to cut relationship with our loved ones, with our relatives, with our Muslims. We need to make sure, if there's anyone who's watching this program, please don't wait for Shabe Barat. Go and reach out to those people who you have cut ties with and make up. Go and ask for forgiveness. Join up with them. You know, say sorry to them. Whatever it needs to be done, go and do it and make up somehow. You know, go take a gift for them. I'll ask for forgiveness because it's not worth it. What if just because of you cut ties with that individual, the mercy of Allah doesn't descend on you? It's not worth it. And those who are disrespectful for parents, now that's a wake-up call. Come on, if there's anyone who's watching this program who the parents are not happy with, parents are angry with because of your attitude, the way your behavior is and the way you speak to them, then you need to sort yourself out. You need to go and just apologize and say sorry to your parents. Those who do other wrong things as well, we need to sort ourselves out. Look, in one hand, we want mercy, we want forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. And on the other side, we are doing such things which Allah Ta'ala has told us to not do. No, we are being disobedient to Allah Ta'ala and we're not listening to the commands of Allah, and then we want forgiveness. Oh, we need to really reflect on these things. May Allah Ta'ala forgive our shortcomings, and may we realize the importance and significance of this night, the night of forgiveness, which is known as Shabe Bara'at. When is this? Inshallah, that we will disclose, inshallah, at the end of the program, because that was our question. When is Shabe Bara'at? So inshallah, we'll be telling you that when it is, inshallah. So make sure you watch this program till the end, inshallah. But now it's time to move on towards the next segment, which is Sunnah Lifestyle.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Sunnah Lifestyle. Subhanallah. In this segment, we get to learn beautiful Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Those things we can practice in our daily life, which will help us making our connection with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more stronger. We can get more closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by acting upon his teachings, his practices. Subhanallah. So therefore, today we have got a very beautiful topic, and that is miswak. Subhanallah. We're going to learn the importance and the significance of using miswak. First of all, for those who you're hearing this word for the first time, let's turn to Brother Arkam. Can you tell us what is miswak?
So miswak is like a piece of wood, and is used, the easiest way to describe it You know the way we have modern day toothbrushes?
It's a wooden toothbrush.
In a way, you can say that. I think that's the easiest way to describe it. I was supposed to bring one, but I forgot.
Allah.
So I would have been easier to show practically what it is. But it's basically used to clean the mouth. Like the way we use toothbrush generally in today's day and age. It's a sunnah to use a miswak.
So the one thing that you made it clear. So one is wooden. It's a wooden thing. It's a tool which is used to clean teeth. Okay, so that's the first thing to keep in mind. For those who are hearing this for the first time, so miswak, it is sunnah to use miswak to clean your teeth. Okay, we have toothbrush these days, we have toothpaste and we clean, you know, these type of things. We have toothsticks and we use these to clean our teeth, but to use miswak, you know, that particular material, that particular wood, and there's different type of miswaks available in the market. You can buy these. If you don't know how it looks like, you can go onto any search engine, you know, on the internet and search miswak. You'll find images, you'll find different photos, how it looks like. And normally, it's a hand span. The length of this is like a hand span. It's like a stick, like a, you know, like you have a long pen, like a hand span. And the normal size that we, you know, it is recommended in different narrations, that the minimum height of this miswak should be four fingers. So for example, if this was the miswak, so it needs to be four fingers. So if it's less than four fingers, then you shouldn't use that anymore. And that was the short size, the highest should be one hand span. So if it's extra, you should cut it off as well. So that's the size of the miswak. And to use miswak, to clean the teeth with miswak, this is one of the beautiful sunnah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And there are so many virtues and blessings of using miswak.
Yeah, like you mentioned, why should we use the miswak? Firstly, it's a sunnah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then there's many, many benefits of using the miswak. It's mentioned, miswak is a means of attaining the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. It's mentioned, angels become pleased with that individual who uses the miswak. It's also mentioned that angels shake hands with the fortunate person who uses miswak. Those angels who hold the arsh of Allah Almighty, they pray for the forgiveness of that person who uses the miswak.
Subhanallah.
So the angels shake that person's hands, Allah, and angels are doing dua for the forgiveness of that person, that individual who uses the miswak. It's mentioned the one who uses miswak regularly, he will cross the bridge of Sirat on the day of judgment at the speed of lightning.
Allahu Akbar.
So that bridge to get to paradise, he will cross it like in the speed of lightning.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
The doors of paradise are opened for the one who uses miswak.
Subhanallah. Look at all these virtues and excellences of using a miswak. Now someone will be thinking, now if there's anyone who has actually used a miswak, you think, okay, I use toothbrush. In the modern day and age, now we can use a toothbrush, we have toothpaste and we clean our teeth, and this is more better in terms of cleaning our teeth. Yeah, you might argue this. Okay, we're not saying that, you know, if you use a miswak, it's more cleaner than the toothbrush. We're not having this argument. We are looking at the significance and the superiority of miswak. Now you can use a toothbrush, you'll get the reward of cleaning yourself, you'll still get thawab, because cleaning your teeth is a sunnah as well. Yeah, using miswak is sunnah, and cleaning the teeth is sunnah as well. So if someone uses the toothbrush to clean his teeth with the intention of to gain purity and cleanliness, inshallah you'll get reward and blessings for that as well. However, look at the greatness of using the actual wooden stick. You know, the actual miswak, if you use that, look at the extra blessings you get. So many virtues and excellences that have just been mentioned. Now they are for that particular stick, that instrument that you use to fulfill the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Why would you use that tool in this day and age? Why would you use a wooden stick to clean your teeth? You will do it because in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the reason to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what we are saying here as well in this segment, that let's try to, you know, get hold of this miswak. Ramadan is around the corner. Why don't we adopt this beautiful sunnah in our daily life on a regular basis? You can continue using toothbrush as well. You're not stopping anyone. Everyone in the morning, in the night, you can use that. But make a routine of using miswak as well. It is sunnah to use miswak for at the time of wuzu. So when you're about to perform wuzu for namaz, then you can use miswak at that time. So have a mix and match. Yeah, sometimes use miswak.
You know that person is mentioned. If a person goes to salah after making wuzu with miswak,
subhanallah,
angels follow him.
Wow, subhanallah. That's like the king, isn't it? You have a king and you have people following you.
But yeah? Here is not wow. People, it's angels.
It's angels. Wow, subhanallah. So everyone, please make the intention to follow this beautiful sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let's bring the sunnah of using miswak in our daily life. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We've got some messages here. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Ashir Zir Attari from Oldham. That's a famous name from Oldham. You tell us your street or your postcode as well. MashaAllah. Ashir Zir is a younger brother of Brother Arkham here. So he's sending a message and he's got the answer right. First of all, Brother Ashir, I have to say, you've got it correct. Well done. You've been fabulous here today. MashaAllah. Muhammad Hassan Raza from Longsight. MashaAllah, thank you for sending us a message. And you said Shab-e Bara'at is on that particular night. You got it right. Well done. This is Abu Bakr from Glasgow. The answer you gave is correct, but you've not spelled the month correctly. MashaAllah, a lot of you have sent messages. Inshallah, neither end, inshallah, we will be announcing the actual answer as well. So, but before that, we've got two quick short segments, inshallah. So now we're going to move on to our next segment, Islamic rulings.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Welcome to Islamic Rulings Corner. In this segment, we learn some important terms, important rulings about Islam. Today, we have a very important topic, and that is modesty in clothing. Now, what does that mean? Yeah. What does modesty mean? Yeah, modesty, I think we discussed that similar topic last time as well. Modesty, we have modesty of eyes, we have modesty of the tongue, we have modesty of our mind, we have modesty in our clothing, in our behavior. This is a huge topic. Yeah, but today, we are going to talk about the importance of having modesty in clothing. What type of clothing should we wear? Which type of clothes we should avoid? Yeah, and these are things we need to be aware. Remember one important thing, that Islam is the code of life. How we need to live our life, from A to Z. Every single moment of our life is explained in Islam. We are told what to do, when to do, how to do. Therefore, clothing is something we do every single day. And Islam, won't leave this out. Islam has made it very clear. There's clear, messages and rules regarding how we should be clothing ourselves. So what does modesty in clothing mean? Jee, Brother Ankum.
So like you mentioned, Islam is a complete way of life. Like it's given us rulings or ways to do other things in life, it has given us rules and guidance on clothing as well. So it's mentioned that some of the type of clothing we shouldn't be wearing, really tight clothing that some people wear, where the body is showing, you can see the figure, that type of clothing is not allowed. For males and females, we shouldn't wear such tight clothing where the figure can be seen, like the actual body shape of an individual, that can be seen. Is from the etiquettes and manners of a Muslim that we wear loose clothing so that figure cannot be seen. And then there are certain areas of the body which have to be covered at all times as well. Even if it's hot, whatever the weather is, some parts of the body have to be covered.
So for a male,
yeah.
What's the ruling? What's the minimum requirement of clothing?
So from the belly button to the knees, that part, that area has to be covered.
All the time. So from the belly button, from the navel,
yeah,
all the way to the knees and past the knees as well.
Yeah, including the knees.
Including the knees. All this area must be covered all the time.
That's the minimum.
So this area, those who have a habit, especially in the summer, wearing shorts, or those who go to swimming and they wear, shorts, if the thighs are being revealed, even the knee, if that is revealing, this is a sin in Islam. It's not right. Remember, we talk about modesty here. I'm going to categorize here into two things. You have modesty means haya, having shame and know, feeling embarrassed, yeah, and having haya from Allah and then haya from people.
Mm.
Sometimes we are modest, we do certain things so that other people don't feel, you know, uncomfortable.
Mm.
So it's not embarrassing in front of other people. But we need, first and most important for us, we have to be dressed in such a way that we are not, you know, we don't feel embarrassed in the court of Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has, you know, given us the code. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have told us how to clothe ourselves. And the minimal requirement for a male is from the belly button up to and including the knees. All this area must be covered at all times. And this is just minimum, but overall, including your elbows, you know, the legs, you know, all the full body should be covered in a nice, decent way. In a nutshell, wear smart clothes. Look nice, look decent. If you were to go to a good, like a good environment, you got a meeting, you got an interview, and you'll dress yourself, won't you? You know, you look smart, you look nice clothes. Islamically, you should avoid wearing tight clothes.
Yeah,
the body part of your is being revealed, and you know we should wear loose clothing, especially when you're going to madrasa, to masjid, to perform your ibadat. Wear loose clothing; it's more comfortable.
Yeah.
It's comfortable, you know, you enjoy it and you'll feel more relaxed. And this is the sunnah way, to have nice clothes, you know, look after yourself, wear nice and clean clothes, don't wear dirty clothes, you know, make sure they don't smell, you know, change your clothes regularly, wear them washed, don't have dirty clothes. And, you know, especially if you've done like some activity, been playing some sport and now you're sweating so much, or now it's time to read your salah, change your clothes, have a quick shower, change your clothes. These are basic things we have to do. And sometimes, you know, we wear some certain clothes in front of our like relatives, our elders, and it's not appropriate. Yeah, you know, they're ripped clothes and they don't look right, and they're dirty, they smell, you know, and you know, so whoever's in front of you, they're like, oh, why is he here?
Mm.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not easy to tell that person.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know how he's gonna react.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in Islam, we are told, you know, to be modest in our clothing as well.
As mentioned, that modesty is one of the branches of faith.
Subhanallah. That's how important it is. Modesty, haya, is from one of the branches of faith, from iman. There are many branches of iman, and one of the branches of iman is modesty, haya. So we have modesty in our clothing as well. Anything else?
So just on the point, especially with the shorts when it's warm or hot, sometimes we see that the kids might not want to wear the shorts. They might have that mindset from madrasa or somewhere that, no, I want to cover properly. But then the parents say, no, it's hot, wear shorts. Everyone wears shorts. In that situation, what should we do?
First of all, if there's any adult, you know, who make kids do certain things which are not allowed in Islam. For example, if the parents, they on purpose say to them, look, you don't need to pray. Yeah, now, these things are wrong. Yeah, you're giving them the wrong message. Yeah, you were supposed to encourage them to worship. You were supposed to encourage them to open the Quran. You were supposed to encourage them to act upon Islam. And similarly, you know, in these type of things, you're giving them a wrong message. Now, you know, if there's any ownership, it's going to be on the parents. The kids, it's not kids' fault. Yeah, that they're doing wrong there. It's the parents. And in certain circumstances, the sin will be on the parents because they are making him do these things. So it's important for us, for as adults, as elders, that we need to make sure we give the right upbringing, the sunnah upbringing in our household. And that's the way to go forward. And inshallah, if you give that same mindset to your children as well, the way it should be, inshallah, when these kids grow up, inshallah, they will have that, they will live their life in the sunnah lifestyle, inshallah. So now it's time to move on to our final segment of the program, which is called Islamic Manners.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Islamic Manners. In this segment, we normally talk about some important topics that beautify your personality. That those things which are from the Islamic teachings. And today we have a very important topic. It's linked to our first segment. In this segment, we are going to talk about how to forgive. We're going to learn different tips of how to forgive other people. Why is it important to forgive other people? And how can you do it? What are the practical steps that we could take to forgive people? How can we make friendship with those who cut ties? That's our topic today. How to forgive. Brother Arkham.
Okay, I want to start by asking you a question. So we all make mistakes, don't we? We all have sins, don't we? Yes or no?
Human being makes mistakes.
Everyone makes mistakes. So we all want our own mistakes to be forgiven. True. Yes or no?
True.
So now listen to this hadith of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's mentioned, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever is not merciful to others, he will not receive mercy. Whoever does not forgive others will not be forgiven.
No.
So now think, if we want our own sins to be forgiven, we want our own mistakes to be forgiven, we should be forgiving others as well.
Allah.
And just this one thought alone,
Allah.
This one thought alone should be enough for us to forgive other people.
Allah.
When people wrong us, when they do things that we don't like, or they do something against our rights, this one thought should be enough for us to forgive them, that we want to be forgiven.
Anyone who's watching this program, who have cut ties with anyone, who has hatred for another Muslim, it could be your father, your sister, your brother, your family member, it could be your relative, and you're struggling to forgive that person, this narration, it should be enough. And if this is not enough, then I'm worried. Now, if this is not enough for us to wake us up, to shake us up, and to make us realize, you know, we need to make these changes, then what will? Now, please, I'm going to request Brother Arkham to share this important narration again. And I want everyone who's watching this program who have cut ties with anyone of their family members, your relatives, or your neighbors. And please, just for a moment, leave everything and listen to this Hadith-e Pak with full focus.
It's mentioned the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, whoever is not merciful to others will not receive mercy.
Allah.
And whoever does not forgive others, he will not be forgiven.
Allah. A simple formula. Yeah, we want our Rabb to forgive us. You know, and when we all look at ourselves, you know, we are the worst people. We've done so much wrong. You know, we've done so much wrong in our life. You know, we've been lazy in worship. We've been disobedient to our parents. Many of us have been swearing. We've done all sort of wrong things. But at the end of the day, when it comes to night of forgiveness, you know, we have hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. We want our Rabb to forgive us. So regardless of our situation, our Allah, our Rabb is fully aware of our condition. But even then, you know, we are still hopeful that our Rabb will forgive us. And we want that. We have that yearning. We wish that. We make dua. Ya Allah, please forgive me. Ya Allah, forgive us. Ya Allah, you are the most forgiving. Ya Allah, have mercy on us. And this is something we should be doing anyway. Okay, we shouldn't be despair from the mercy of Allah. No, we should have hope in the mercy of Allah. That's the right approach. But on the other side, you know, we're not ready to forgive anyone.
Mm.
We've done so much wrong and we want our Rabb to forgive us. And on the other side, you know, someone else has done maybe something small. Something that you can't even call it an issue. You know, even if they've done something big, something really bad, but even then we're not ready to forgive. Why are we not ready to forgive? What's holding us?
You know, mostly it comes down to arrogance. That why should I forgive him?
Yeah, why should I? Is his fault?
Yeah.
Yeah. He did wrong. He cheated me. He lied. Why should I forgive him? Now say now, I will never forgive him. In my whole life, I will never talk to you. These are things we people say.
Mm.
That's, look, it's not how you feel. It's how Islam teaches you to live. And Islam teaches us to forgive other people. In life, there will be many ups and downs with your family members, with your relatives, with your close, you know, circle. You will have many ups and downs. And you need to learn how to live with each other. We need to live with tolerance, with respect, with honor. Just know how that person is. Just be understanding. Yeah. Just be understanding, you know, and we need to learn how to live together in one household. Full stop. There's no second thing. Yeah, we need to find a way to live together happily. We should be able to talk to each other. We should be able to eat with each other. We should be able to go on a journey with each other. Yeah, these things, we have to become the bigger people. You know, don't be arrogant. Don't be stubborn. That's it. Well, I'm not going to forgive. No, when you forgive, if you look, regardless of whose fault it is, if you're a person who forgives, yeah, this will beautify your personality. You'll become a beautiful person. Now, people will love you. People will respect you. Even that person, you know, who's hurt you the most, and if you were to forgive him, that person will have, you know, respect for you. Yeah, he's like, yo, I've done so much to him, and he's just forgiven me. He'll be shocked. Now, give him the surprise. Yeah, and he's like, wow. And why are you doing it? Because Islam teaches us to make up with those who cut ties with you. Simple rule. We need to live our life according to the teachings and the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for us, the message is we should be forgiving. We should be forgiving in terms of our, if we have cut ties with our family members, our relatives, our Muslim fellows. So please, if there's anyone out there, you know, who cut ties with anyone, please don't wait for the night of forgiveness. Don't wait for Shabe Bara'at. From now, from this moment, go and send a message. Phone, give them a phone call, reach out to those people and just apologize. And you know, what's the hardest part? The hardest part is just the first few seconds. Mm. That's it. Mm. Now, if you get that courage, somehow stand in front of that person and say, look, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Yeah, look, I'll forgive you. You know, first few sentences, few seconds, that's it. That's the hardest part. If you can do that part, the rest will be easy. Inshallah, you'll enjoy, you know, these moments, and you'll remember. You'll create an impact in their life. That person will respect you, honor you for coming forward and making ties, inshallah. Let's not wait for Shab-e Barat. Let's make these amendments now. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to bring these positive changes in our life, which beautify our personality. Quickly, few messages, and then inshallah, we'll go to the answer of the day, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Again, we got another message from Birmingham. Anam Ali B. MashaAllah, you sent us a message. You got it right as well. Muhammad Hamza Hassan from Birmingham. You've got it correct as well. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Maryam from Birmingham. You've got it right. MashaAllah, all of you got it right. But we asked you about the night of forgiveness, Shab-e Bara'at. You've told us the following day. Assalamu alaikum. My name is, or I am Mubashir Zahir Attari from Oldham. MashaAllah, Zahir Bhai. Mubashir Zahir, how are you? You okay? MashaAllah, thank you for sending us a message. It's an honor, MashaAllah. He said, I really love this program. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to reach to this night, right? Before we go forward, I know it's time to go. When is Shab-e Bara'at? Let's see what is the answer. The question was, when is Shab-e Bara'at? And the answer is, Shab-e Bara'at is on 15th of Sha'ban. 15th of Sha'ban, every year 15th of Sha'ban, this night is Shab-e Bara'at. And wherever you are, whenever it's 15th of Sha'ban, make sure you make most of this night, pray, spend this night in ibadat, in worship, in doing good things. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness. May Allah Ta'ala shower His immense mercy upon all of us. Now, inshallah, we're going to close this program. The next time we come, look after yourself, everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I love Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.